Took my Urus and he crashed it.
My lifetime between everything now, I've probably made $20 million, $22 million on everything. If you have nothing, you almost have to be envious. If I see someone that has $100 million, that's 30, let's just say, I'll be like, okay, do I feel like I'm gonna have $100 million by 30? Let's just say for this example, I didn't. I would be like, okay, what do I need to change?
Welcome back to the Beyond the Wealth podcast. I'm your host, Andres Sanchez, and today we have Jacob Levenrad. Jacob has an amazing story and has been extremely successful at a young age. I don't even know how to intro it. Just stay with us so we can go through this story.
It's going to be good.
You're going to be entertained and you're going to learn a lot. Brother, thank you for coming on the show.
Amazing to be here, bro, and I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, of course. I like to get things rolling right off the bat. What does an iPhone bumper case mean to you?
Oof. Dude, all the way back, as I think everyone is, I was a little dumb middle schooler. And it was my mom, actually, who saw on Amazon, it was like a 10-pack. And she told me, like, you should just buy, because I really wanted this case. And we bought the 10-pack, and I didn't need them all. And then my friends at school, two of them wanted one. I was like, all right, bet you give me $5 each. And I was buying it for a dollar. So it was the first taste of, like, capitalism and making money. And at seventh grade, made, like, 20, 30 bucks. It led me into some other things. But, dude, that was my first real entrepreneurial venture, borderline.
Dude, it's always interesting when people start so early like yourself. I remember back in the day where we're not too far off from age. Those bumper cases were the shit. Yeah. Like everybody wanted.
Yeah, like iPhone 4s, 5s. Bro, I don't know what it was. Maybe because they were way more square, the phones. But yeah, dude, it was nothing crazy. But I think definitely, it was in my DNA. A lot of people, even like what we were saying, you're in the Supreme world and like the flipping world. There's some people who just enjoy and think about money more and also like the game.
Yeah.
You know?
There's something about collecting a dollar or more from another individual, like knowing that you paid this and they paid you that, is a feeling that like only people who did it know. And it's such a special feeling, especially early. Like so many people like us got in with sneakers and flipping apparel, and those moments at a young age, understanding that there's millions of people who are willing to pay you dollars and cents for your services, is a real eye-opening experience.
100%.
You then start to still have that kind of itch for entrepreneurship, but you're young. I mean, you're a seventh, eighth grader. You're now going into high school, and your parents are already kind of realizing that you're good with money, that you understand money, mm-hmm. and you're quote unquote the party kid, the one causing a little bit of trouble. You actually dropped out of school at 16 years old.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
The main thing that was like a real like wow factor was, is I was a big degenerate, like partier. I threw some parties in high school. It was ninth grade where things started getting bad, as I was, I'd bought a golf cart. Mm-hmm. So ninth grade, like smallish school, I had a golf cart. That was already hype because no one had cars in ninth grade. So from there, I just became like quite popular. I knew everyone in my grade. It was like 100 people in our grade. And there was one weekend, my mom was out of town. My parents got divorced when I was pretty young. So my mom, at this point, she wasn't even home for like a week. And I just was like, screw it. I invited like 15 friends. We got like a pack of Bud Lights, then another pack. Then we paid, so I think it was an Uber driver or some like college guy, like $100 to get us a 24 case of Bud Light. And dude, we just got really drunk, ended up just getting caught by the school, as it was a private school, so they kind of like were way more pushy. And from that point forward, they, I think, just had a vendetta against me. They just didn't like me in their school. I think if they had the chance at any point of like, should we expel him, they always would have done it.
Yeah.
But they were waiting for a reason. And starting in 10th grade, they put me on a contract where I had to perform on a academic and also just human basis. And the main thing that was like, it was fine to me. I actually got decent grades in the first semester. The second semester is when also I got to Supreme. That was when some more money started being created, because like the biggest thing I hit on was it was a Supreme parka,
yep.
The North Face collab. That's like the Blue Mountains.
Okay, hell yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people, if you're in Supreme, you know those. That I hit on, I got one of them and then also the really thick one. And I made like $1,800, $1,500 profit that day. And that's, I think, the first time it really hit me you can make money. And I knew if I just did this, I could probably make 10, 20 grand a month. So, dude, that's when it hit me. I was kind of just like, fuck school. Every Thursday, I was there on that drop.
Yeah.
I'd skip English class the first like 20 minutes of it. And then grades plummeted a bit. And I think around a month before school ended, I kind of was just like, screw this. I like fully wouldn't show up to class. I would like fuck with my teachers. And then finals, I just like fully just walked in. And it worked really well. But right around then, my brother pretty much also offered me a job to work for him. He's 3 years older than me, and he was already doing like a social media marketing agency. And he was a really good example of like, this is my like North Star of where I need to head. And I kind of followed in his footprints, especially in the beginning. And from that point on, we made a deal with my mom. I had 6 months, one semester. If I don't make money, I told her I'd have 50 grand in the bank. I ended up with like 20, 25 maybe. But I told her if it didn't work, I'd go back.
Yeah.
Missing a semester isn't a big deal. I think when you're in eighth grade, you like can't imagine 6 months without school.
Yeah.
But anyone who's been to college, you realize like people take a semester off all the time. And the rest is history.
In listening to you talk in other interviews and even now, I noticed that your brother was a really big influence on you and was the reason why you really wanted to pursue entrepreneurship. Talk a little bit more about that. I'm an older brother, so for me, this is interesting.
Fuck yeah.
Talk about that experience and watching your brother be successful and kind of following in his footsteps.
I think that brotherly love is real. And then also, like, there's a certain bond a lot of time brothers have. Everyone might have it differently in their family, but for us, and I think the average, like, older-younger brother dynamic is, like, the older brother's, like, the top dog. The younger brother's, like, his bitch. And then for us, you know, we would, like, fight here and there and bicker. When I got a bit older, it died down. But it was always, like, you know, if the older brother wanted to play football, the younger brother would, like, want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just always, I think, the younger brother tries to follow in the older brother's footsteps. The older brother's, like, the cool kid.
Yeah.
And for me, I was always a unique person. I think I liked my own things. He was super into football. I wasn't. But with business, he was showing me it was possible. And like I've talked about it lightly, but he really just crushed in the social media marketing world. Now, I mean, he made a ton of money. I was more so chilling. He's traveling the world a bit. But dude, that when he was, you know, 18, 19, 20, and I was 15, 16, 17, that 3 year span, he was just making a ton of money. He probably netted $1 million, $2 million profit.
Wow.
So for me to see that and him also giving me the opportunity, I was pretty much his assistant for a bit. It just showed me it was possible, showed my family too. And that's very powerful and something I'm lucky for. Those are the examples. I think that you don't have to be lucky to be successful, but everyone has, you know, advantages and disadvantages. That was one of my big advantages. And yeah, I mean, he just definitely showed me it was possible. And like, I think lit a fire in me too. Of I want to like be like and or beat my older brother.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can only imagine. You see your older brother crushing it, making money, yeah, doing what you would want to do.
I'm like, fuck this guy.
That just means you got to make double the money. Yeah, crush him.
Yeah, I always fucked him. Now he had a 570S. It's like a more chill McLaren. Like I wouldn't say the entry model, but like it's like 150K.
Yeah.
And I bought a 720. Right when I bought it, I texted him a photo. I'm like, I got the big boy McLaren.
Oh man, that's awesome. You're 21, right?
I'm 22. Dad.
You're 22. 22. So your brother's 25.
Yes.
So me and your brother are the same age.
How old is your younger brother?
He is 22.
Oh,
he's 23. He's 2 years younger than me. So yeah. Close in age.
Very
as well.
Close, dude.
My brother and I aren't fighting about which McLaren we bought yet.
Soon.
But that is awesome, dude. Just the fact that you're able to do that with a loved one, especially someone like a brother, because like it's true, a brotherly bond is
powerful.
Is like next to like is uncomparable to pretty much anything, in my opinion. And the fact that you both get to share those experiences is so powerful.
Yeah, I gave him my Urus like 7 months ago to drive home. And he fucking, I'm at a Halloween. I'm at like a carnival with my ex, oh no, taking girls with, whatever. Dude, he fucking took my Urus and he crashed it into like the emergency poles on the highway.
Uh-huh.
Like 14 grand in damage. I was like, motherfucker.
Who paid for it? You or him?
We had a deal because technically kind of it was my fault too. He had like 10 miles of gas and he was running out of gas. And he like cut back into the normal lane, but he paid the most, so it was pretty funny.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm happy that no one was hurt.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're able to
who's just a 20 grand
like that come up and deal with it like that.
Yeah.
So in your journey, you're now learning from your brother, you're understanding business, you're yep. seeing him make real money. You start taking your own stabs at making money.
Yep.
You tried penny trading. You tried drop shipping. Drop shipping wasn't working, but then it did work.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that experience.
Yeah. So I've actually never gone into what that transition was like out of
talk about
being
it.
His like bitch and then into a business. And it's actually cool. I definitely am happy to go into it. So for me, it was like right end of 2018, early 2019, where he started, I wouldn't say dialing out. He had a huge client and then the client like went away, was done. And he kind of decided to start traveling and like just chilling a bit, working less. And he'd really shattered a lot of his goals. And at that point, the work he had for me kind of dried up. I vividly remember, I know it when I was leaving school and like kind of finessing, I think I got to like 20, 25K
but I think it was I paid taxes and it was around Q1 of 2019. I had 13 grand. And I remember it vividly because my mom called me with my friends, which I don't know about you guys, but it's not nice when people leak your amount of money in your bank account.
Yeah.
There's conversations where it's okay, but especially when you don't have a lot, I thought this was low. I didn't like it, but that's why I remember it so vividly. My friends are in the car. I'm on speaker in my Honda Civic at the time. And she says, you have 13 grand left in your bank account. I just paid the taxes. I owed like 12 grand. She wired it out. And I was like, mom, what the fuck? It was funny. I was just buying a gaming PC. We were on the way to Best Buy. In retrospect, I don't know why I care. My friends, I think, probably thought it was crazy.
Yeah, right. But, 13K, they were probably like, holy shit. I've got $300 in my account.
But, dude, it was right around that time. And I had all this knowledge of my brother. He had a lot of meme accounts. So these meme accounts, they can get a lot of views. But to monetize views, you have to have something to sell. So I didn't know what to sell. And it was someone I saw. I wouldn't say a competitor, but I saw a business that was selling these AirPods, fake AirPods that were black, green, red, or like camouflage. And in my head, I'm like, they were buying ads for my brother. I wasn't a part of it at this point. I just knew they were a P client.
Yeah.
And they're paying him like $200-$300 for a post. So I'm like, they got to be making money. They're doing it consistently. And nowadays I have way more of a brain. I mean, you get older, you understand things better, to know they were crushing. And it's replication of competitors. I love the idea of that. And dude, that's exactly what I did. I started replicating them pretty much. I wouldn't say copied their site, but I copied the right cat.
Yeah.
I knew they were doing well, copied a lot of it in a legal manner. And then the only flaw, which we'll get to, is that selling fake AirPods is not okay.
Yeah.
They got fucked for it way worse though. Supreme Patty was doing it too, which was a big indicator of I think I'm fine because they would go for him first.
Yeah.
Like a 17-year-old kid. And dude, I convinced my brother to do a video for free. So I made the video. I ordered. I have a photo of this in my story video on YouTube to show proof. In my mom's crib, you see like an old dining table, like, you know, it's where I grew up. And there's a fucking cardboard box of like white cardboard. And I put on a cake spinner, a pair of AirPods, like one of the pairs of fake AirPods. And I spun it really slowly. And I zoomed in with my phone like this. And I swear to God, that's how I filmed my first ad. The rest, I mean, was history. I posted an ad on his page, an influencer ad. I called it. I still do. $200-$300 would normally charge, and I made like $400-$500, and I wasn't paying any money for it. And he really liked this because he was like, dude, this is like a great way to monetize my page.
Yeah.
And we had some deals, funny enough, because I had such little cash, I needed money buying bulk to pay for shit, pay for customer service. This is also right when I hired my, at the time, friend, now assistant, Julie. I hired her when I was like 16 as like a contractor who helps me with customers.
Yeah.
She's just responding to emails. Now she's full-time, which is nice. He's actually about to probably move to Puerto Rico with me.
Awesome.
But yeah, dude, I was just like, holy shit. He posts a video, I make $400. I ship out the orders, it cost me $100. I'm like, there's $300 profit. And I think the difference between like before to this was before I felt like I would work and make the money. This is the first time I felt like I like built a printer. Like I put in a dollar and I can just get out five.
Yep.
And then I was just like, how do I put in a fuck ton of dollars? And over the course of the following 12 months, I had started three sites, all similar, selling fake AirPods. I was calling them EarPods. Major issues with site takedowns, cease and desist, and payment processing rules. But I managed to do like 1.3, 1.4 mil.
That's biggest, not bad.
Yeah, biggest site was at the time, Earphones for Less. I've actually never said the name of the site, but you guys can finally go and probably find like pictures of it and stuff. I think there's still Instagram for it. Yeah, dude, crazy time. I mean, I went, at one point I got greedy, I was calling them AirPods. That's what I think triggered it. Mm. And then I got a letter from Apple, and that was what officially crushed my dreams. It put me into like a semi-depressed state for like 3 months, because this was all I knew to make money. And
yeah.
It had now been a year and a half out of school. So at this point, I'm full on like loner mode, at home every day. Like all I know is my brother, and like maybe one or two friends from high school. So it was a weird time, especially this is now like 20, end of 2019, early 2020, weirdest time in my life. I got into Fortnite a bit. I thought I could play professional Fortnite. First post on my, or I think second or third post on my Instagram, I'm in Malibu, California. And I went to California. It's like after I started drop shipping, but before I did anything else in business, it was like a 9 month phase where I was just like, I didn't know what to do. And I was there for a Fortnite tournament, funny enough.
Interesting.
Yeah, but crazy time.
Yeah, talk about the time where you were in transition between the Apple situation. Now you're trying to figure out what's next.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of entrepreneurs and people that listen to the show, I think it's very common. You have a product that's making money. It goes cold. you're in this position where you feel like, how to make more money, what's next? Talk about that, because I think there's value in it.
100%. And like already at this time, I remember I bought a few pages because I knew how valuable these pages were. So I bought some of the smaller pages because I had some money. And I like kind of owned them as a digital asset and would sell ads. So I kind of went on the opposite side. I think a lot of the time people can like chill in complacency for a bit. I think that's where I was. Maybe I had $40,000 to my name. And it's funny because I made so much money, top line revenue selling the AirPods. But after everything with the legal hire, it was just such a mess, dude. And stressful. First taste of stress.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely didn't have $100,000 in my bank because I knew that was like later on in life. I remember when that happened. But I was just kind of complacent, I think, and just wondering what I would do next. And then it took me to change my scenery where I really, I think, started having new ideas. So I did that LA trip for Fortnite. And then it was like 7-8 months later. This is now 2020. So all my friends graduated. I dropped out 2018 of June. 2020 of June is when everyone's a senior graduating. And all my friends came over. I'm still my mom's. And nothing had changed, really. I had that whole AirPod story, but that's the only big thing that's happened.
Yeah.
Although that did solidify me as like, this kid isn't doing, he's not going to fail in life.
Yeah.
I think people saw that. I even posted on my Instagram. My biggest month was like 58K.
Wow.
My biggest day was like $6,000. So people knew I was at least figuring shit out. Although it was still very like, Jake, it was this threat.
Yeah.
My mom lost a lot of friends. She had friends who like literally thought she was like really ruining my future. Which is so fucking funny.
Because she was allowing you not to go to school?
Yeah. And I didn't get a GED either. Like, I was out. Which is so funny. And I stand by it. I've said it a lot online. I didn't get a GED because I thought it would make a better story in a book. And I stand behind that. In a future book, I'm going to have one page in the beginning, just a note on that. Everyone said I should get it, and I didn't. Yeah, dude. And then it hit me when all my friends moved away. I was like a little sad. I was very sad.
Yeah.
It was weird. I knew no one. I was alone. This was the most alone I've ever been. Because I fundamentally... Everyone in my hometown who you knew as a friend, and you guys remember your hometown, you had all these friends. Imagine all of them go to the next stage in life and nothing changes for you.
Yep.
And I cried that night. And it was like 2 days later, my brother was going to Colorado. I don't know if he knew I was sad or just wanted to go to California, but he said, let's go to LA together. So I met him in LA. He already went there from Colorado and we rented a Lamborghini, which is like funny. I honestly don't recommend this. I don't think this was a main factor in it. But we just had so much fun, me and him, on this like 4 or 5 day trip. No business really. We were just having fun. Also, important factor, when I first dropped out in 2018, he had brought me to LA to meet one of his clients, and I really liked it. I wasn't really working back then. I was just working for him. But then, dude, 2020, I went to LA on this trip. All my friends had moved out, and in LA, I was like, I got to do something new. And that's when it hit me. I could start trying to sell new products. So. We came back home. I 100% knew I should move out. It was too sad for me in Boca. So I started Airbnb in different places. I tried South Beach. I started testing new products. And then I started posting on TikTok, which gave me a huge community. I really like enjoyed that. And then simultaneously, TikTok really started blowing up for me. And then also Shopify and really two main stores. One was a beer snorkel. Another one was a fitness product that I'm still selling. Those two stores and TikTok blowing up. Between like brand deals, I launched a course, the Shopify stores now, like there's so much income everywhere. And then it was just like, holy shit, I should rent an apartment, sign a 6 month lease. And then in that 6 month lease is when I had my first one. I remember hitting $90,000 in a month revenue between like drop shipping courses. And also I did a big brand deal with SendDrop. And then that's when also I had $100,000 in my bank account for the first time. And that was like a holy shit moment. This is now end of 2021. Yeah.
And how did that feel to see that $100,000 in your bank account? Like, what does that validation feel like?
It was interesting, dude. I think that like 2020 year for me was super hard when all my friends left. And it took me until mid-2021 to like really, I think, figure out like, here's what I can really work on that I enjoy. I think that a lot of people are big on the like, does money buy happiness? Do you enjoy stress? Why do you work so much? My eyes just like, I simplify it. Like, we're all animals and we wake up and do what we want. And fundamentally, I felt like I was finally doing what I wanted, which was really fucking nice. And I think the $100,000, I didn't fully feel safe yet. I think $1 million in the bank, when I knew I had like pretty much $1 million liquid, that's when I started feeling financially safe. That also was not that lot. It was like maybe 8, 10 months ago. That feels really like way better safety-wise. Yeah. But I think I just was like, this is working. let's keep doing this. And had a ton of ups and downs through that. Like, I was so close to becoming a millionaire at still as a teen. I think it was 19 at the time. And crypto fucked me. Dude, crypto fucked me so bad. Crypto fucked me again. I've been very bad fundamentally at high risk investments. I think this like mid risk, just pushing money into like normal shit is very hard to fuck up on. But every high risk play I've pretty much taken, I've gotten fucked. I got to stick to business. That's also where I'm at. The last like 12 months, I'm really big now on like, I'm hardcore on my business and cash.
Luckily for you, you're 22 years old and making these mistakes will most likely 99% will not have any impact on your long-term success. I think you're doing well enough.
Appreciate that.
Something that's interesting to me as I was kind of doing my homework on you and looking you up, and you kind of alluded to it a little bit. You've mentioned you're very comfortable being alone.
Very.
Do you think that's a skill? And if it is, how important is that?
Dude, it's funny you say that. I'm the apartments I'm looking at in Puerto Rico. It's like my max I think I'd spend there is like 40, 50 grand a month, only because I'm saving so much in taxes. I hope you guys realize it makes sense. So I want to live nice there. There's a place, pretty much it's Dorado and Ritz-Carlton Residences. That's the main top spot, but it's like 2x the price as any other place. So there's one St. Regis Residences just opened. It's far out. And I'm like to my realtor, let's do like, dude, the home's there. It's like 25K. A home that's 25K there is like, would be 50K in Dorado. So I'm like, dude, like I'll spend like 20, 30K a month. I get a sick house, like the whole nine yards. And he's like, it's out of everything. Like you want to make anything to do, but like be your house. I'm like, dude, it's all I want to do. I just want to work. I think that it might not necessarily be a skill. I think there's pros and cons to it. I'm a big pros and cons guy. Whenever a decision doesn't have much, like kind of Jeff Bezos, he says there's two-way decisions and one-way decisions. You know, like a one-way decision is like moving across the planet. You're doing that and you kind of like commit to it. You know, move all your shit, you move your associate of kids. Like that's a decision you can't go back from. A two-way decision is like, you know, deciding to buy a car, or even better, deciding to buy something that's really resellable. Like deciding to buy a friggin' iPhone. You know, worst case you don't like it, you can like return it.
Yeah.
Or anything with a return policy. It's like, you shouldn't even think about it. So for me, I think I'm a big believer in weighing out pros and cons. And with stuff like being alone, I think there's a lot. I think that it's a decision you can make based on your personality type. And I think that a lot of people just would enjoy it more than others. I think it just, you get molded as a child in different ways. So it's just better for some people than others. I definitely think I would consider it a skill. In the sense of work and your success, I would consider it a, I don't know the antonym of a skill. It's like not a skill.
It's not a skill.
I would consider it not a skill if you look at it for social life and friends. I was like, it wasn't like fun. Like I hate when people online are like, I grew up like tough or like my life was hard. I don't think my life was hard. I thank God for my family situation and my childhood, but that 16 to 19, bro, I was sad.
Yeah.
It takes, I'm not a crier at all too. Last 2 years, probably cried once. I was like bawling when my friends dipped because that was so like hard for me. So I got really good at being alone. I mean, even in Puerto Rico, I'm going to opt for the St. Regis Hurley.
Yeah.
None of you guys fucking robbed me. But I like it. I like the idea of, because I think other people are too fixated on themselves. Everyone is. Every human only cares fundamentally about themselves.
Yeah.
And it's not fucked up. Like I like conversating with people. It's enjoyable. But most of the days I have, I want to do what I want to do. And I don't want to think about other people. I would say the easiest people I could be around is my team. Because anyone who works for me, we have the same vision. That's why I have a pretty solid team. But yeah, even women, dude, I can't be around women that have like very strong goals. Because they just like, they talk about it so much. I'm like, stop. I want to be with a girl who makes like 2K a month. Fucking.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You mentioned your team. You built this team around you. What was it like hiring people? What was it like vetting talent that meshes well with you? I think CEOs and entrepreneurs are always faced with a tough task of delegation and finding people that they believe can do the work the way that they like the work done. What was your experience building a team around yourself?
Amazing question. I think that a lot of people try to hire if they think the task isn't like worth their time. I don't believe in that too much. I think that kind of works really far in. I think once you're making like a few million bucks a year, but until then, I think that doesn't make sense because you want to be filling up your time.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to worry about buying back your time yet. So for me initially, and what I'd also say to anyone is I think you have to wait till it's really natural. I don't think it's something that's forced. For instance, like
you don't think like, who can I hire right now? Every time, at least I've done that too, it's always been like not needed and a bad hire. I think the best hires happen naturally. Like if you're taking sales calls and you, on your own business, and then you just realize like, fuck, there's like 10 sales calls a day and this is 80% of my day. You're going to naturally be like, I need to find a closer. My assistant's another good example. Like she never, I never was like, let me get an assistant. Just like she was doing all this little work for me. And then I realized I needed help with personal stuff. And then I realized like I hated sending people Zelles. So I just logged her into a bank account. And then I was like, dude, you're kind of doing a lot of shit for me. Like, I think we just stopped the business stuff. She still did customer support for like 2 years for me across different businesses. I'm like, let's just stop the business show or get to other people on that. You live your life. She was in college. She just graduated. And I'm going to go and like for right now, just have you as like a part-time assistant, your part-time school, part-time assistant. Now we're officially going to try full-time. It's going to be interesting. But every role I've hired that's good, dude, it's happened naturally. I have a COO who manages like our like short to midterm goal right now over the next, you know, we've been working on it over the next year or two is coaching and like helping people is one of my big things. I like it. I ideally long-term want to be like a young Tony Robbins, but that's just one business. I mean, my e-com site, I got out of it and just sold, but my agency, and also we're working on acquiring a few other businesses, a minority position. My goal is to build a team that helps me manage all these businesses. And I have like one main operator right now who helps me operate pretty much anything under me. So just different people. He started as a sales guy for me. And I could tell he wasn't the brain archetype to do sales. So I'm like, why is this guy doing sales? He's not going to do it long term. Let me give him the next path. And I did that. But I'm still learning, dude. I'm also fucking up a lot. I feel like I don't say that enough on these podcasts. Like, as much as I think people question decisions and fuck, am I doing this right? Fuck, I should be moving quicker. Like, fuck, I should be making more. Like, I have that too. I think everyone has that. And it's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, look, I appreciate you being willing to share that, because you get people that come on these like a podcast like mine, and sometimes it's almost discouraging to the people listening because all they do is talk about how successful they are, how much money they're making. You being willing to say like, you're doing shit right now that you don't know if it's right, wrong. You lost money here. You're bad decision here. Like, that's just business and real. And the goal of the show is to impact at least one person every episode. And somebody could listen to that and be like, well, shit, all right, I don't feel so bad about fucking this decision up. Let me try this next business now.
It took me, dude, my lifetime between everything now, I probably made 20 million, 22 million bucks on everything. And I have like made, first off, I will be like super clear. I'm in like the low, like multi seven figure net worth. I used to not talk about money too much, but as of like a year ago, once I was like fully a millionaire, that's why I started being okay with it. Because I think it provides a lot of context too.
Yep.
But dude, throughout the whole thing, even now, like there's so many things I just fuck up on and lose money from. Even last year with taxes, like, dude, I have such a fat tax bill that I had to pay and it sucks. Like that just kills your net worth. It just like liquid cash on hand just drops. And that's one of the things, like I wish I moved to Puerto Rico a year before. I would have a few hundred thousand dollars more. I didn't, and I moved past it. And yeah, dude, I think fucking up's healthy, you know, especially if you can eat that shit. If you eat it like a fucking bullet, man, like, fucking love that.
And like, you could even see like the passion and excitement that you have. Like, you're thinking about these fuck ups as you explain them to me, and I can see you're fired up to knock it out and not have that happen again.
Yeah.
And I think that
you gotta come to Puerto Rico, bro, and I'm there.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna come visit you. I've never been to Puerto Rico. I haven't had a reason to go yet. Now I do have a reason to go. But for you, it's, you can tell like these fuck ups have been a big fuel to why you continue to grow, why you continue to succeed. I mean, dude, 22 million at 22 years old is unreal.
Yeah.
And to be able to say,
I've never thought about
it. It
22 to 22.
And for you to be able to say that you have a low seven figure net worth at 22 years old is mind blowing to people. I think this is interesting actually. In a position like yours, you've created all of this wealth. You've been uber successful. You're young. We unfortunately live in this time of scammers, of people who are nefarious and lying about that. How much of that have you had to deal with? Because the regular person's going to look at this and be like, no way that guy's made that much money. That's bullshit. What is that experience like? Like, do you have to deal with that regularly? How do you handle that?
I think I get it. I think that there's two ways you can perceive doing something badly.
when you are viewing that you're doing something badly, you're comparing it to something. And on the contrary, if you're doing good, you're also comparing it to something. Every like variable normally has a control. So the way I look at it is that people who get angry at other people, realistically, we're all just animals. Like, why would anyone even think about another animal? And it's because they're usually comparing it to themselves. And for me, it's like, I even have it. The idea of envy is true. It's a common like psychological thing that happens to almost everyone in different levels. And I think the issue is for people, especially when people are super, super beginner, aka like broke, I think the fact is it's just unfathomable for a small percent of them. And they can't even fathom the idea that it's possible because it would just make them feel so terrible. And I think it's not many people. I think on social media and like TikTok, maybe it's like 50% of people. But in real life, it's like maybe 5. It's very rare people give me shit. Way more often, I have people all the time. The last like 6 months, year is where it's really accelerated, even like social media. I grew a lot on TikTok too. Where people, I've only had people come up to me and like love me and give me like love and happiness. I've had a few like weird stalker situations, but no real hate. Only thing I will say is that past that envy with specifically doing coaching and courses, that's where it gets really sketchy. Mm-hmm. That's why I like really got out of courses pretty early on. I did for like a year because I just realized like if you just sell a course, people just label it really badly.
Yeah.
But at this point now, even with the amount we provide, like people who join my mentorship, we do 22 Zoom calls a week. So that alone's like people like you can't be like, oh, this Jacob guy is like helping, you know, a few hundred people every month. Like you can't get mad at that, you know. We have a few hundred students that come and use our stuff and they're active in the community over the last year or two that I've brought on, and it's nice. But yeah, it's hard for people to see things doing so much like better than what they perceive. I even have to do this. He's like, when I see a guy, like I was talking to a guy who's 26 at a dinner the other week. He bought a $16 million house in Miami Beach. He didn't get approved for a mortgage. Like, so how'd you buy it? And he bought it fucking cash. And that was retarded. I just went to a watch store with a buddy. I was so hyped, bro. I'm buying this $70,000 Patek. And I was like, dude, this is the most expensive watch I have. I'm so excited. Bro, this guy that I brought there, like so casually sent these guys $120,000 in Bitcoin for a fucking, like, frankly, better watch than what I bought, like literally a better version of it. And he didn't do it in any malicious way. That hits, and it's like, what did they do that I didn't? So for me, I thankfully don't have envy. I'm like self-confident enough, but you know, I still maybe have an ounce of it. I think when someone, if you have nothing, it's you almost have to be envious, because if you're not, you're just going to feel so shitty and you almost want to disprove people. I'm okay with it. It doesn't affect me too much. I'm very like self-confident, confident in what I'm doing, very singular on like my own lane. And I always just take notes, take tips. If I see a guy that I think fun, like I'm a very, I'm a little like narcissistic almost in like how smart I think I am. Mm-hmm. I think you have to be to an extent. So if I see someone that has $100 million, that's 30, let's just say, I'll be like, okay, do I feel like I'm gonna have $100 million by 30? Let's just say for this example, I didn't. Like, I feel like I should be able to, but let's just say I really wasn't. I would be like, okay, what do I need to change? I'll end this point because I know it's a long answer, but I'll say, I have a really powerful training. I teach people to go into God mode. Mm-hmm. But I say like have that perspective on life. I have a few YouTube videos on it. Just it's like a way of working where you are like second to God. You're very powerful. You're going to get a lot done.
Yeah,
it's like monk mode. And I always tell people one of the modules, I show them like, imagine you woke up, you went on TikTok for 3 hours, you didn't work, you ate McDonald's, you didn't go to the gym, you sat in your bed all day. That's like 0% going to achieve your goals. Then there's like maybe a 50% of like, you work out, you work for 4 hours, but you watch Netflix at night. That's like, you'll hit 50% of your goals. Then there's a guy like Elon Musk, who all he does is work every day. He's like an 80, 90% chance of hitting his goals. So the like loser who's 55 and doesn't get married and dies alone, who like, you know, does porn and all this bullshit all day. It wasn't that he like wasn't successful. It's that he made a ton of bad decisions that led to that. So I'm a big believer it's in your control and you just have to make a ton of good decisions. And Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, me, anyone who has money, anyone who's in a good position is there because they made decisions to get them there. And you need to understand what they did and replicate the fuck out of it. And I think that's the game, dude. And when replication is done well, it's almost like positive. You're going to see replicated results. So again, I say it all the time. People think it's fucked up. I think like a guy like Warren Buffett isn't that smart. Like people think he's so rich. Like he invested money his entire life. He didn't spend his money. It's very simple. Like if anything, I think one of the least interesting billionaire stories was Warren Buffett because of how simple it was. Love the man, I respect him a ton, but he just invested and didn't spend.
Yeah.
He like worked really hard and did not spend his money, and he became what, 80, 90 billion, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what
crazy it is.
It's enough money. It's enough money.
Crazy to think about.
Something that I had written down that I wanted to talk to you about, and you kind of just brought it up there, was you are extremely confident in yourself, obviously, but you're a huge advocate for thinking big.
Try to think bigger, bro. I feel like I'm thinking too small.
Yeah, like what advantages has thinking big given you? And why should somebody listening switch to that mindset?
I think breaking it down to the gym is a really good way to put it so people see it. Because it's also, as you said, it's like similar to what I was talking about. As if you think like, hey, I want to lose like 5 pounds, super doable, you're going to be able to do it. But since it's also so easy, you're not going to be so aggressively trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll like skip the Saturday burger, but you'll still have a burger like twice a week. And you'll go to the gym like 4 times a week instead of none. But if you think like, damn, like how can I like, that's like 5 pounds, we'll call that like making $5 billion in your life. Most decently successful people do that. What is it? 60 years, like 80 grand a year. Then you look at it like, what if I wanted to make 500 million? What if I wanted to lose 50 pounds? And we got a lot harder. Better yet, let's do it in 3 months. Then it's like, damn, that's hard. Have people done it? Yes. But those people are like the top 1%. The people who made 500 million is like the top 1%. Then you realize that it takes extreme action to accomplish extreme goals. And it's not that an extreme goal is harder to do. It's that it takes a lot more effort and action. So I love thinking big because you shoot for the moon and you're going to hit the fucking star. That's so true. And I mean, I don't know about anyone here or like anyone on the planet, but everyone's always going to want more.
Yeah.
Would you rather, if you're fat, you'd rather lose 20 pounds than 5. So setting big goals, hold yourself accountable in a very intense manner. And I think that's great.
I love it. I mean, very well said. And I agree, like, it's alarming how close-minded and short-sighted people are.
100%.
And the way that they make decisions are on a 24 to 48 hour basis instead of a 2 to 4 year basis.
It's hard. I'll say too, like, we're all there. Like, literally, it's funny, dude, that we're talking about this. Because I have in my, like, I do a daily, like, start of day and end of day note to, like, talk about what I wanted to do and ended the day doing. And I wanted to do today. I probably do when I get home. Oh, I call it a war map. Sam Evans does it of, like, plotting the next year. Keep in mind, like, I had a lot of shit hit my plate the last, like, 3 months, which made my life a little sporadic. But we're all figuring it out. Exactly what you said. I agree with you. I heard you. I want to do it.
Yeah, 100%. You talk about now you're in the position where you've been very successful. You have very heavily systemized your day-to-day. Yeah. You are tracking everything. You have people in place to make sure things are going steady. Yes. How much has that changed your day-to-day life and how much has that impacted your output?
Yeah. I think as you grow in any endeavor, you start getting entrepreneur, money-making endeavor, you start getting time capped. So when you're working a job, it doesn't matter because a lot of times you're getting paid by the hour. So it doesn't really matter what you do. You're just going to make the same. But once you have a business, it's like you're not making money based on time. You make it based on action. And even in sales, I think sales guys are like pretty much entrepreneurs. They're like right there. You need a high ROI. You need high ROI on your time.
Yep.
And for me, it's like as you grow in business, you're going to hit plateaus in which you start end up doing like low ROI activities in comparison to what you could do. A good example for me now is like content, a podcast. Having a good personal brand for me is so valuable. We're going to do an event in probably a year. And like, I'm very confident. I'm ideally going to have a guy like Hormozy, guys like Luke and Ed's come. I have decent connects to get decent deals with them to come. So I want to do an event like that. And I want to be looked at like that. Everyone knows how good it is. If you have a brand like Alex Hormozy, it's like, you can make a ton from that. So you start doing higher activities. Dude, 4 years ago, I didn't even think to do a podcast. It wasn't on my agenda. And I think as you grow, you just got to be very aware of what you're doing and start buying back your time, especially at that multi-million a year. That's when like I think you really got to evaluate your time and understand like, what am I doing? Was this task not worth my time? Like, why was I doing it? I like driving. If I didn't like driving, like I would probably sell both cars, probably get like a, either like a Range Rover, or maybe like a Chevrolet, the sedan, or a Cullinan. Yeah. And I just get a driver. When driving is like such a big fucking time waster, dude.
I hate driving.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks and good. Like decent. I just got my McLaren
back. I mean, the McLaren is probably a little more fun than the regular car.
Yeah. No, that car is fun. But yeah, dude, buying back your time, and I pay a lot of just my fulfillment team, the 20 Zoom calls a week, dude, just my expert team. And I say this because I'm proud of it. Like we spend the last 12 months, I probably spent $300,000 in customer development, product development, making the stuff I give people coaching wise really good. The next 12 months, I'll probably spend $500,000 bucks on it. So that's all to like really pursue. I'm really trying to make my brand and the core thing, life and business coaching, to help young people and mid-tier business owners, and then have a bunch of companies, you know, under me run by my teams.
That's amazing. On a more fun note, you're wearing a beautiful Patek Nautilus right now. You have a McLaren outside. You like luxury items. You made a bold statement recently. You will own a plane this year or next year. Why?
Yeah, I got to be careful throwing out this year, but I do like it because it's an extreme goal. I mean, fundamentally, the Puerto Rico move I'm doing, it's 3 hours. I'm halfway through my pilot's license. So I'm very confident I'll probably buy, especially just to like get me into that world.
Mm-hmm.
Trading them up's a lot easier than just going straight to a $10, $50 million plane. Definitely, I'm not going to start at that.
Yeah.
But with getting your pilot's license, it's like way cheaper than people realize to own a plane. It's literally, you can get like a solid plane, same price like a Lamborghini Urus. If I'm in Puerto Rico, I'm going to be traveling a good amount for business, just because I'll be in Miami and have to be in Miami here and there. You know, I my main business in life will be in Puerto Rico, but I'll probably end up being in Miami like 6-10 times a year. I'll be so close to so many islands too. I love the idea of like, my big thing is I don't need to go see the whole world now. I honestly would rather wait till my life's a little less stressful. But I like going to like little piece of islands. Like I've been to St. Barts, haven't been, but I want to go to Turks and Caicos. I've been to a ton of islands in the Bahamas and Exumas. So I like the idea of just hopping islands.
Yeah.
And dude, for me, it's really not that expensive. So you can get a decent plane for $1 million, 10%, maybe 15% a year in depreciation and like insurance, maintenance, throwing another all in. I think you're 20% a year you're losing. $200,000 a year, $20,000, $18,000 a month. It's like $18,000 a month to be able to fly anywhere. It's pretty lit.
It's pretty lit. I'm not going to lie.
That's my thing. If I didn't get my pilot's license, it wouldn't be worth it.
Okay.
But one thing I'll say to you guys, like too, it also makes getting a plane way more accessible, which at least motivates me. Flying private sounds cool. You don't need a pilot. And for a lot of the smaller planes, anything sub like $5 million, a lot of the times the people that have them don't get a pilot because it's so much cheaper. And if you do want a pilot, most of the time you're going to be looking at waiting until you're at 30, 50, 100 million net worth. So it's way further. You can do it.
Yeah.
I ideally plan to do it. But for me, I want to get into aviation. It's a hobby of mine, frankly.
Dude, that's amazing. And that's super cool that it's something you don't just want a plane to have a plane. Like it's a hobby. It's something you're interested in,
dude. Like I really like the idea. Like, bro, imagine just like, you know, you're chilling with your boy. We're just like doing whatever. And then you just like, yo, just go to the Bahamas for dinner. You literally could fly, bro. You could be in Bimini in 35 minutes.
Dude, I had an experience where that became very real to me. One of my best friends is his dad's a member at the most private country club in Miami area. It's like $800,000 to join. So like you're talking about elite of the elite. You're spending $800,000 on your golf membership.
Crazy.
And we're sitting there and you get exposed to a lot of people in the lunchrooms and in the clubhouse. It starts raining and we want to play our round. So we're out there in the rain. Doesn't matter. A foursome of guys go in and they go, race you to Opa-locka. We want to get our round in. So they got on the jet, flew to Orlando, played the round in Orlando because there was no rain, and then flew back home so that they could get their round of golf in.
Insane.
That to me, in that moment, I heard that and I literally get chills thinking about it because that's another level of wealth. It's like this guy just to avoid not playing their round of golf because of the rain in Miami, they chartered a jet to Orlando, played their favorite course in Orlando, and flew back home by dinner just so that him and his boys could get his round in.
Insane. It's like it's a different level of wealth.
Yeah. I mean, I get some people, maybe it's like pretentious. Oh, why do you want that much money? for someone like me, and I know for someone like you, that shit fires me up. I'm like, how do I get to that? Like, yeah. What do I need to do that?
And that's why, dude, I think one of the most powerful things that people don't talk about enough is deep diving. These guys with a few hundred billion bucks, few billion bucks. I think it's also really important to look at people that did it in more unique ways. I think too many people think of like the Zuckerberg or Kylie Jenner, who's like more popular ones, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett. They're in like, their spots are harder to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Buffett's a good example. He didn't do anything exceptional other than a lot of time passed and he just saved a ton of money.
Yeah.
So if you make like 7% a year compounding and you're making $1 million a year investing 90% of it, you will be a billionaire. It's like not hard.
Yeah.
It's just patience and a lot of discipline. On the contrary, Kylie Jenner was just attractive, born into a good family, and got into social media really young, billionaire 19. The stories I like, bro, is like, think of like a guy who is in my spot, but worth like 30 mil, 40 mil. So I think like people could replicate me. I think I'm a decent example. I've done some good, but just fundamentally, there's guys who've just crushed me that I look up to. Alex Becker, he's 35. He's someone I look up to. Luka Netz, 29, I think. He's worth like a few eight figures. Those are the guys, like, in my eyes, you look at, and that's where they paint the path. And then it's like, damn, like, he sold his company for 130 mil. It's Becker. Dude, you could buy a $15 million plane. He could easily do that comfortably.
Yeah.
I was in, I don't know what the fuck he'd work on now. I met him in Monaco, like, as a sicko. But
Monaco's amazing.
Yeah. This crazy place.
Crazy place. That's a different type of money.
Yeah. Facts, bro. Another example, like, all these guys, a lot of them are unique spots. And also, don't study the wrong people. I think that's where I'll tell people, like, for me, I wouldn't look at what Warren Buffett did and try to replicate it. I'm not a big advocate to, like, at least in my spot, I'm not going to invest 90% of my net. It just doesn't make sense to. I'd rather reinvest into my business.
Yeah.
Rather than, in his case, stocks. He was huge on stocks. And yeah, dude, crazy world, though.
Crazy world. A question I ask everybody at the tail end of interviews is, if you look back in 10 years, so we're 10 years forward here, what needs to happen in the next 10 years for you to be able to look back and say you succeeded?
Ooh, that's an amazing question. I think that I need to have 9 figures. I think that...
9 figures liquid or 9-figure net worth?
I'd say a 9-figure net worth I could have access to within a year. It can be like semi-liquid in businesses, maybe, or real estate. 9 figures I could prove. Within a year, I could sell everything and have 9 figures. And I think the reason for that is I think I'm on a solid trajectory. Things are going great. For me, one of the big things now is, you know, the whole idea of having multiple companies under the main brand.
Yep.
And then investing through that. I think that my social media is going to give me access to good deals, good people, and I'm going to leverage that hard and also leverage my team to help them grow. We have some unique skill sets in the situations we've been in. But I think I don't fully know the plan, but I feel like if that happens, it's going to be very unlikely I look back and say I didn't do what I wanted. But I definitely want to do it in the right way. I'm not going to force it. And I'm trying to enjoy more, but I'm enjoying every bit of it. But and that's one thing I'll be hard on. Becker told me it when I was like first really pushing to $1 million. Like this was right after I hit pretty hard from crypto too. My business had some issues. My e-com store was doing, it was a tough time in my life. Right when I met Becker, one of my like low points, but a few low points everyone has, but this was one of them. I met him in Monaco and he told me, smell the roses more. Like if you have a good day, like even if you had a good gym session, enjoy that. You know, if you fucking go and meet someone cool, or you have a fun dinner, like enjoy that. Enjoy the life. Enjoy the journey. Because at the end of the day, we all end up dead.
Yeah. I mean.
This is life.
That's just life. That's amazing. And I think you're the second person that's answered that with the goal of 9 figures. I'm going to hold you to it. Okay. So I hope. During my show's lifetime and your success story, we do this multiple more times.
Okay.
And I hope that when
touch base.
Yeah, when you get to that 9-figure mark, I want to make sure I'm the first person that interviews you.
I'll have the plan. We're on a quick flight.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do the podcast on the plane that you bought. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. So here at the end, if you could give a 30-second piece of advice to an entrepreneur that's still with us right now watching. If you could give them a 30-second piece of advice, what would that be?
I think that you need to realize that you're yourself, you're your own person. I think as much as you can look up someone or model someone else's success, fundamentally, the real person that you need to work on and improve and listen to is yourself. Trust yourself to improve and realize your path will be unique to you. And
don't stop. Find the bottlenecks. Find what you're fucking up on. Find what you need to improve on. Go hard at it. Think big. Shoot for the moon. And enjoy hitting the stars.
Dude, I love it. Thank you so much for making the time to come on the show.
Appreciate it.
Where can people connect with you? Where's the best place for them to reach out?
And easiest place, I always say TikTok is simple. Just make money with Jacob.
Okay.
And then if you're interested, you found me entertaining enough, you can go and find the other ones on the link in bio and shit.
Amazing. Brother, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you dumping your story and letting everybody know what it looks like to make $22 million by 22 years old. And like I said before, I can't wait to continue following your journey and potentially being part of it here with the show.